I think it must be lovely for the Lord to have saved, it isn't working, oh yeah, to have saved such beautiful people who can lead us in worship like that. So thank you for that. It really touches my heart and prepares me. And did you know what Hosanna means? It really struck me. Oh, you do. You tell me. Oh, you don't? I thought you were saying, yes, I do. It's just that when we sing Hosanna, we're thinking it means much the same as Hallelujah, aren't we? Which is like praise the Lord. Actually, Hosanna means have mercy. But it's become a shout of praise because we've received mercy. And we know as we shout for it, he brings it to us. Isn't that wonderful? Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. So we're reading from Luke's Gospel. I'll say it again, but you probably all know where Luke is. But there's the Old Testament, and then there's the New Testament, which is the second half. And Luke is the third of the books, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And those are the Gospels. And we're looking at chapter 2. And they're quite good, these, because at the top of the page, the very top of each page, it tells you whereabouts roughly you are when you're looking for somewhere. So Luke chapter 2, and it's verse 8 that we're starting at. And for those of you who've got a little title, it says the shepherds and angels. That isn't in the original book, but it's just to help us find it, the shepherds and the angels. And could someone... Oh, look, brilliant. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. For it was just as the angel had told them. We're coming up to a great... If you're doing music, they have this thing, don't they, where it gets bigger and bigger like this. It's like a great crescendo. And... which means it gets louder and louder. And this beginning of Luke is full of songs. It's absolutely bursting with songs. It seems like once God touches earth, suddenly out of people come poetry, praise, songs, excitement. You just can't keep them quiet. And we've already heard Mary's song. Thank you, Paul, for that beautiful song. We've heard the song of Zechariah. We've been last week at Christmas. We were at the birth of the Saviour, birth of Jesus, where he was laid by Mary's mother in the manger. And we heard how that was the greatest gift that had come. And now, most extraordinary things happening. There was a song from heaven itself. But let's look at the shepherds a little bit. The thing about these shepherds is, the shepherds were poor and they were peasants. They were kind of like low down on the scale. And I guess the only thing is that they had for them, the shepherds, was that King David had been a shepherd. Before he became king, he was a shepherd. So I imagine, now this is imagination, it's not what it says in here, but this is my imagination, all right. But I imagine that if you were born into a shepherd's family, and you were not thought of as much, you were poor, it was hard work, and you barely had enough to keep the wolf from the door, as they say. You barely had enough. I can imagine that they would tell each other stories, and they would say, do you remember? It was King David was a shepherd when he was a boy. When he grew up, he was a shepherd. He became king, so we are important, really. But no one else thought the shepherds were important. And by the time of Jesus' birth, the shepherds were probably even thought of as a bit irreligious, not very good people, because they had to be there looking after the sheep in the night in the fields. They couldn't get to the temple very often or to the synagogue. So people would have thought, well, they're not very religious people. They're not really all that good. So they'd be even thought of as a little bit bad, really, shepherds. But who does this great king come to? He comes to the shepherds. Before I say any more, do you mind if we have a little prayer a minute? Do you mind? Father, as we read this story, I know that we are hearing the most incredible thing that could ever have happened. We are hearing of your salvation, and it changed lives for the whole world. And so today we ask you to open our hearts to hear this story fresh and new. You brought your salvation to pass. Now make it real in our lives, I pray. And I ask this through your great and tender mercy in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 The shepherds were going about their ordinary task. And that fascinates me. That they weren't in any special place. They were just doing their ordinary job, looking after the sheep. And they weren't expecting anything to happen that day. But it did. And as they were doing it, an angel appeared. And it says the angel was surrounded by the glory of the Lord. And it said to them, "Don't be afraid. For I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." Now, I've noticed that there are two kinds of fear. There is what I call a good fear. There is a fear that comes about when it's a sort of awe, I guess. It's similar to the kind of feeling that you get if you go to see the Grand Canyon and the huge waterfall and you see how beautiful it is, but also how terrifying it is. If you fell into that, you'd be dead in a moment. That kind of fear is a good fear. Then there is another fear, and it's a fear that I think most of us experience, even if we can't put it into words. And it's a fear that If God sees us, he's going to reject us. And what it does is, it makes us run away from him. Because we think, we don't want God to see us because we're making such a mess of our lives. And we might be able to just about hide it from other people and pretend we're okay. But if God broke through and saw us, we'd be a goner. And everyone would know how awful we were. And so there's this fear, even sometimes in us as Christians, those who believed in Christ, sometimes when we sin, instead of running to him for help and forgiveness, we run away. And we think, oh no, I don't want him to see me. I'll try and make myself better. And we can't do it. And these shepherds, when God appears through the angel to give them a message, are absolutely terrified. And the first word the angel says is, don't be afraid. John puts it like this in one of his letters. He says, God's perfect love has cast out all fear. If you are frightened of God seeing what you are, I tell you, he's already seen it. And he didn't just send an angel to tell you not to fear. He sent his own son and proved that he wanted you. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Jews thought that salvation was for the Jews, and only incidentally for a few other peoples, perhaps. They'd forgotten what their job was, I think. But this first message that comes at the birth of Jesus is, I bring you great joy, which is for all people. It's meant for every single one of us, for all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. People ask for a sign. They want to know, they want to have proof that God exists. Well, the angel said there's going to be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, that's swaddling clothes for the authorized version, lying in a manger in an animal's feeding trough. The sign that God gives to the world is the sign of a baby laid in a manger. In Matthew's gospel, the wise men get the sign of the star that leads them over to where they is. And that's sort of like a big cosmic sign that wise people understand this sign. But this sign, the sign of the baby, is the sign that's given to us, to us simple people, us shepherds. We have the sign of the baby wrapped and laid in a manger. And there is something here that is just so incredible that I don't think our minds can get round to it. Remember, this baby is actually God. God has taken human form. And not only taken human form, he's taken the form of a baby with no power. That baby, if Mary had decided not to feed the baby, would have died. God places himself in the hands of mankind as a helpless babe. And this is the sign we are given, which is a joy to all people. But why is it a joy? Of course, the shepherds, they don't know any more of the story. They don't know what's going to happen, but they hear the good news. They don't know the cost that it's going to be for God to bring joy to all people. And after he told them that, it says, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Now, just to help you a little bit, that word, those with whom God is pleased, actually says those whom God favours. So it's not that you have to work to please God. Because God loves you, he is pleased with you and he favours you and he brings his salvation to you. Glory to God. Do you know, I was reading or listening actually to something that a theologian, they're the ones who study the Bible and go all, you know, very clever. But a theologian said, and he said, heaven, he said, isn't up there somewhere that you're waiting to go when you die? He said, heaven is all around us. We are surrounded by heaven. It's bearing in upon us, even at this moment. We can't see the angels, you and I, at this moment, but they're there. They're there. I mean, didn't Jesus say about little children, didn't he say, well, they're angels looking at the very face of my Father? So there's this connection between heaven and earth. And with the children, last week we just heard about Jacob's ladder with the angels going up and down. He discovered that heaven was right next to him. Heaven's here. It's bearing in. Heaven is in this room at this moment. We just can't see it. But the good news of the gospel is bringing it to us. Peace on earth. At the time when this good news was brought to the shepherds, the Caesars, the Romans who had occupied Israel, reckoned that they were the ones, Caesar thought he was the one that brought peace. And they did bring a kind of peace. Over the whole of their empire, they brought a sort of peace so that there was safety to travel on the roads and things, which actually became important when they started spreading the gospel, because they could go on those roads. So even that was under the providence of God. Isn't that amazing? But they would call themselves, Caesar would say, I'm the peace giver. Praise me. And he was, through power, through strength, through armies. They brought a kind of peace, but a peace that was forced on people, that pushed people, a kind of peace. But this baby is a heart, is somebody who is showing a different kind of peace. The Jews have a word for it. They call it shalom. And it means a peace that includes the whole of yourself, of everything. It's peace in your mind. Your mind that has been struggling and fighting and causing you such distress. He brings shalom peace to there. It's a peace that includes, they used to think of it as a total healing of the whole person. The shalom peace of God. A shalom peace. It's a peace that comes not through force strength, but as we who know the end of the story, through a sacrifice that God made. We'll talk about the end of the story in a minute. Do not be afraid. This is joy for all people, and it's peace for the whole world that God is pouring his favor on. Wow. The shepherds responded to that. When the angels had disappeared, everything had gone back to the normal night on a hill in Galilee. No, not Galilee. Well, wherever Bethlehem is, from the hills around Bethlehem. They spoke to one another and they said, let's go and see. Let us go and see what we've been told about. And kind of the best way to know that this story is true is to go and see for yourself. Now, we obviously can't go to Bethlehem today. Well, we can go to Bethlehem. I've been to Bethlehem, actually. But we won't find the physical baby there in Bethlehem at the moment. In fact, we'll find something rather distressing, really. We'll find loads and loads of tourists and people fighting to get to see where he was born and stuff like that. No, we won't see that place of peace. In fact, probably the place where there's most war seem to be in the Middle East, doesn't it? Right in the very centre where all this glorious news of peace came. So how could we go and see today, to respond today? We'd have to trust in the message that this little baby brings to you. God is powerful enough to force any of us to bend our knee in front of him. It would hardly take not even a breath, you know, like a tiny little whisper, and we'd be bowing our knee. But he doesn't do that. He comes to us in the form of a little babe, powerless, apparently, so that our choice is free to respond to that powerless babe. Why does it bring peace? Because that isn't the end of the story. You have to follow the story through, don't you? The story of this baby, you have to follow it on through until you come to the cross. And there, an innocent man who was God was crucified. He was crucified, that means killed on the cross for our sins. And I've wondered about that. I mean, I've shared it before, but like, why didn't God just make it easier on himself and just close his eyes and say, okay, I'll forget all your sins. Just do it like that. Well, this is something interesting. Say God had done that. We're pretending this is what happened. You'd go to God with your sins and you tell him and say, well, forgive me, please, just forget them. And you may think he's forgotten them, or you may think, well, you know, he may have forgotten Margaret's sins, but I'm not sure if he's forgotten Paul's sins, you know. No way, you know. And so, and even Margaret might be thinking, well, he might have forgotten now, but what happens in a couple of weeks' time? He might remember something else I've done, you know. So, but do you know what, this is my friend John again. Do you know what he said? He said, if we confess our sins, if we confess them, we tell our sins to God, we admit that they're our sins. And we can admit that because we don't need to be frightened. We can admit them to God. If we confess our sins, now listen to this, you don't know, but this is amazing. He is faithful. Okay, we believe God's faithful. But listen to this, and just to forgive us our sins. Did you know that if God refused to forgive our sins as they confessed to him, he would no longer be a just God, because he had already laid our sins on Christ. So even Paul's forgiven, because it's just that he should be forgiven. God himself counts it as a just thing to forgive your sins. Wow, isn't that amazing? Not a wonder heaven itself is singing. Well, they went, the shepherds went. They saw exactly what had been told them. And to be honest, if you've heard Christians say to you, well, God made this difference in my life, and things like this, you know, you'll never get to know if it's true by listening to them. You'll only get to know if it's true if you go there yourself. If you confess your sins and know him forgiving your sins, then you will know the change. And God will count it just that he should forgive you, however awful you've been. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child. This is why we get a bit excited in church sometimes when we're singing and stuff. It's because, well, we've experienced, we've seen it. And we haven't even seen the full glory of what God has done. We've had little glimpses. All of us have only had glimpses of how much God has done. But the glimpse has been enough to excite us beyond any word of explanation. So, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. You know, some of us, in our response to God, are very loud. And, you know, that's exciting. We can't help it. It's who we are. It's part of our personality. Others of us are quieter. We like to ponder these things. We like to give time for it to kind of like slowly seep into our heart, into our thoughts, into our imagination, into our decisions. We like it to come in slowly. But both are responding to the grace that God has shown. So the shepherds went back to their flocks. So they went back to their ordinary job. But things were different. See how they went back? They went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. For it was just as the angel had told them. You will never be disappointed in Christ. If you go to see, you will never be disappointed. You'll be challenged in your life. I can't say everything's easy, but there is a difference. You have God's shalom peace with you, and it's that peace that follows you through all the different journeys of life. God's shalom peace. So, thank you. Thank you.